Hey, it's Mina. On today's episode, Warren Sharp and I are going to talk about the Super Bowl. What else? Please take a minute to subscribe to the show if you don't already. Rate it, preferably 5 stars. Review it, preferably kindly. You know, Sunmin Kimes reads them all. But first, I also want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast. That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. This week, Sarah chats with 2-time Super Bowl champ Chris Long, great Twitter follow, about the genius of Bill Belichick, why he wants Tom Brady to play for a different team next year, and the work he's doing in the name of social justice. You can find That's What She Said with Sarah Spain wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks George Kittle is going to be Super Bowl MVP. Because his last name sounds like kibble. I am recording this at the Clevelander Studio. That's not what it's called. It's at the Clevelander Hotel, but it's like the Levitard Studio. Roy is in the other room giving me a look like I just made a mistake. Dan Stanzik is also in that room. We actually are, everyone's here. Usually it's just me and Lenny, who is unfortunately not here. He does not come to Super Bowl week. People keep asking where he is. I think they're serious. Like, they actually expect me to bring my dog to Super Bowl week. Which I feel like on opening night might work as a stunt, but beyond that, he would have a hard time. And I'm joined in studio by Warren Sharp. Is this your 3rd time on the Mina Kimes Show?
I think so,
that sounds right?
I think so, sounds
right. Warren is coming from Virginia,
yep.
I want to say. But he looks very Miami right now. He's got like a printed shirt, like a white shirt, like a light blazer, and a Mina Kimes Show hat.
Yeah, I love the Lenny on there. This is a collector's item.
I'm not
going to sell it, though. I'm going to keep it.
There's a running joke that I give them to guests, but Dominique still doesn't have one, even though he's been on the show more than anyone, maybe him and Michael Jr. And now he says he doesn't want one, but he really wants one. So if you see him, you should put on the hat and mention it. This is my favorite week to do this podcast because there's only one game. There's only one thing to talk about. And so you can really drill down into it. And I've been joking about this on Twitter, Warren, that I've gone back and forth between the Niners, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. But I'm serious. Like, this is an extremely difficult game to pick. And I have talked myself into both teams multiple times. And I'll just start right off by saying, I think when you look at these matchups, on one side of the ball, you've got a very good offense and a very good defense. On the other side of the ball, you've got a very good offense and an average defense in Kansas City. And when you really game it out like that, it's pretty hard to pick against the Niners until you remember that Kansas City's quarterback is having what I believe to be maybe the greatest postseason in like one modern, and now I didn't want to hedge it like 100 times. So that's kind of where my head is at right now. Before we get into the matchups, where are you at with the overarching game?
I think you're dead on because the point spread's reflecting that. It's I think a 1-point line right now. So it's hard to really say convincingly that Team A is going to dominate this game. There's definite, I think, elements where you can see both quarterbacks getting back into the game, right? I think
everybody's
kind of like putting Patrick Mahomes on this pedestal and keeping Jimmy G down, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more detail, but I in general kind of tend to lean with where you are right now. I do think San Francisco is going to put up a hell of a fight here. And I think this game is as much about the play callers and the coaching
100%.
As it is about the actual guys out on the field.
And that's been a challenge for me because this game is challenging. It's challenging, I think, to look at some of the things that happened during the regular season and try to anticipate what's going to happen in this matchup for 2 reasons. One is both teams were injured. The Niners' defense was a completely different animal without Dee Ford and Quan Alexander, and then other guys were in and out of the lineup. Obviously, Caleb Witherspoon was playing more. But on the other side of the ball, Patrick Mahomes was clearly not 100% for most of the season, right? The other reason why I think it's hard to predict, and we'll talk about what those injuries and, you know, how those units look fully healthy, but the other reason I think this game is hard to predict is we can't assume that Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan are going to do the same thing in this game. We know how good Andy Reid is coming out of a bye. We know how genius Kyle Shanahan's been. So I think it's very hard to look at these offenses and sort of pick apart their tendencies and say, oh, the Chiefs offense is going to do this, or oh, the Niners offense is going to go to this, because these are really, really smart coaches, and they could bring something entirely different to the table.
Right. I think everybody's looking at what the 49ers have done and Kyle Shanahan has done the last couple of games.
Right.
Like, oh, well, he doesn't trust his quarterback. He doesn't have confidence in the passing offense. So they're going to try to rely on the run. And if you can slow the run down, then they might be in trouble. And I can't think of something further from the truth. I remember watching that game, looking up at the press box, watching John Lynch high five Jed York. And these guys were going so nuts as they kept running the ball over and over and over. I think at some point in that game, it became like a challenge to them. Like, can we call another run and have a successful
third
run?
And eight.
Let's make this first down just by running the football. And I really would be shocked if we saw Kyle Shanahan with 2 weeks to prepare being conservative and doing nothing outrageous, no crazy aerial attacks, reverses. I think he was fortunate to save a lot of that for this game. He didn't have to really pull out the bag of tricks. On the other hand, Andy Reid, you know, they had to rally in both of those games. They had to pull out all the stops to try to get back into those games. But Andy's so good off of a bye that that's one of the things I think makes this game so unique is, not only two great coaches, but they're offensive play callers. You know, they're not just offensive minded head coaches who have a play caller. They are the play caller here. So much of the way history will look back on this Super Bowl will look back on what plays they called because they were the ultimate ones in charge of those offenses. I think for that reason, you're going to see these guys with very aggressive game plans.
Let's start with the Chiefs offense versus the Niners defense, the strength on strength matchup, because the Niners defense has been, I think, pretty consistent, not consistent in performance, but consistent in scheme and approach all year. I think they're not, it's, you know, Robert Saleh gets compared a lot to the sort of peaks, well, he was obviously part of the Seattle organization, but I think people say, oh, they're just doing what Seattle did with the cover three and, you know, it's just like the Legion of Boom and he's leaning on the talent. And that's not quite true, I think. They do play a ton. They don't blitz at a high level. They blitz, I think it's about average. They have barely had to do it in the postseason so far. They've gotten extraordinary pressure with four. They probably have the most talented defensive line in the NFL. So they haven't had to, basically they just haven't had to do a lot of weird stuff. They've been able to just like lean on their talent. So let me ask you this. Does that work against Patrick Mahomes?
Well, Patrick Mahomes does perform worse technically when there's more guys in coverage. You know, when there are players blitzing him, that is when he tends to perform a little bit better. So, a lot of quarterbacks, the great ones do. They like having the coverage be somewhat compromised a little bit, and they can sniff it out and make adjustments before the snap and figure out where the things are going to go and then attack them. But Patrick Mahomes on the season has dominated cover three, cover four. I mean, that's what the 49ers play. I want to say 77% of the time on early downs is they play cover three and cover four. And I mean, he's absolutely dominated that. But where I think this game from that side of the ball is going to be make or break for both teams is going to be on third down. Because most of the time Kansas City, they are obviously the most pass heavy team in the NFL. And we could talk in a second, hopefully about some of the strategy, like big picture theories that what Andy Reid might do here, what I think he should do. But in terms of third downs and why that's so important, the 49ers on early downs are just league average in sack rate. They are by far, they're 10% above average on third downs. That's where they're recording nearly like, I think it's like an 18 or 20% sack rate on third downs. They're insane on third downs. Patrick Mahomes has a 3.3% sack rate. When he scrambled on third downs, every single time he scrambled, I think he's done it 12 times this year, so you could say sample size, but whatever, he's a stud. He's converted a first down with his legs when he scrambled. So, I mean, third down, sacks on a third down is effectively a turnover because in this day and age where guys might go for it on fourth down, you're not going to be able to do that if you get negative yards on that third down play. And so this game's, I really think, is going to come down to how often can KC avoid those third downs? And then how often is Patrick Mahomes getting pressure and being taken down versus converting a first down with his legs potentially?
Why do you think the Niners defense has struggled to get pressure on early downs?
I think in part it's a little bit of scheme.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think it is, other teams that they play against. Now, this doesn't factor into sack rate, but just in general, if you want to talk cumulative stats, I prefer to look at rate statistics rather than cumulative. But they have played a lot of teams that don't pass the ball much on early downs. they have played one of the
NFC West.
The NFC West. Like, there's been so many teams that they have played that are below average in pass rate on early downs. And the way that I think that this game should go, if I'm Andy Reid, okay, this is fun to talk about. What is the thing that a lot of these opposing coaches probably think about the 49ers pass rush? They're like, we should run the ball a little bit more. Like, we don't want to drop our guy back and have to go at the teeth of this. What if the opposite is true? What if the way that you beat these guys is to pass the ball a lot, throw a lot of screen passes and move the pocket around and pass even more than what the Chiefs typically do? Wear out that pass rush and go tempo. Don't let they like to rotate that D line.
Don't let them do that.
And then in the second half, those guys are a little bit tired and Mahomes can carve. I looked at, again, small sample size here, but I looked at when opposing quarterbacks drop back to pass 35 times or more in a game. And I looked at, like, what was the 35th drop back, the 36th, the 37th, the 38th. And I think the sample size in games that were somewhat close, those opposing quarterbacks drop back, I want to say like 42 times, let's say over the course of the games where it was close, drop back 35 or greater. Zero sacks, zero interceptions by the 49ers defense. Now, I don't know. I can't say that that's all because they were tired out, but I would love to see Andy Reid say, guess what? We're not going to be conservative. We're not going to be fearful of your pass rush. We're actually going to throw the ball even more often. We want you guys to wear yourselves
out. And you've got a quarterback who's shown over the last couple of weeks that he can buy time against that four-man rush. I think what you're saying is really interesting because the Chiefs' run game has not been very good this year, right? It's kind of weird. And I think people talk about the inside of the Chiefs' offensive line being potentially their weakness, but they've actually been decent at pass pro. It's really been run blocking where they've struggled. And I would hate to see Andy come out with a plan where they are running it a lot on early downs and getting beat. You know, I could see the Niners running some games with their D-line and just crushing them up the middle. I will say, you know, as you talk about sort of Chiefs, the Chiefs are so deadly laterally. You mentioned the screen game, obviously Andy Reid's vaunted screen game, but what they do with sweeps, the amount of speed they've got back there, right? Using Hardman and all. The Niners are somewhat situated to stop that. I think with Alexander back and Warner, those are very fast, good linebackers. But to me, that's still preferable to going to the run early, even if it's not like, you know, as obviously I think it's not going to be as effective against that unit as it is against other defenses, and perhaps not, and I don't have their success rates in front of me by distance as some of their the rest of the field. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can throw all over the field, but I do think strategically what you're saying makes a lot of sense. You know, the Chiefs offense also is so good at throwing the ball out of heavy sets, and I think that's something they could break out very early on, because this Niners defense, something I noticed a lot in the Saints game, they get confused. You can really manipulate them. And I think that's something Andy could also do early on, is mix up personnel groupings, just to sort of play with them, especially when they're in base.
So two things you said there definitely resonate, and I got some numbers to back it up. But
I don't have any numbers. That was just my gut. So no, tell me I'm right.
You're dead on, because the 49ers defense, and this is where I think this is why, like, I think this game is going to be fascinating, because the 49ers defense is one of the worst defenses in the NFL against play action. They're one of the worst defenses in the NFL against pre-snap motion. Compared to the league average against play action, the 49ers allowed 7% more success. Their sack rate drops by 3.3%. That's against play action. Pre-snap motion, they allow 8% higher passing success rate. And they're they actually are the most sensitive team in the NFL overall over the course of the entire season to play action. So with versus without, right? And now the Chiefs, this is the interesting thing about the Chiefs. They use high rates of pre-snap motion, of play action, but they don't have massive splits because Mahomes is a freak, right?
It's because he's like one of the very few quarterbacks in the NFL who's as good not on play action as he is on play. Right. And that, I feel like that just speaks to how good he is and less to, you know, any weakness.
Absolutely. So they don't need it. But the fact that the 49ers are so bad against it means Andy Reid can't ignore that, has to ensure that they're using ample amounts of any type of motion, because you're absolutely right. That 49ers defense, is so instinctive and they're so quick that they flow. And if you can get them off balance, I think there's going to be big opportunities for this passing game.
Yeah. I mean, the strength, they don't have a honey badger. And then, although we'll talk about the Chiefs and play action too, because obviously they're going to see their fair share of that as well. But that's not the strength of that Niners defense. I mean, the strength is clearly up front. And then you've got Richard Sherman. I mean, the safeties have been fine, but the Chiefs are going to go after Mosley. You know, he's a upgrade over Witherspoon, clearly, but for starters, he's small. Okay, so you got to think they're going to want to get Sherman on maybe Hill, who I think can cook him, quite frankly. No, please, nobody isolate that sound and tag Richard Sherman, who I think is great.
Is that the worst, though?
I want no part. Well, don't do that generally. I complain about it all the time, but particularly not in this case. I think Richard Sherman's amazing, but Tyreek Hill's very fast. And that, you know, the Niners pass defense, obviously they've been best against the deep pass, every metric you look at or whatever. A lot of that is a consequence of the pass rush and game script. But this Chiefs offense presents some really serious issues for them. Setting aside personnel, play action, all the tendencies, just on a pure talent level. Okay, you got Tyreek Hill. Let's say you got Sherman just one-on-one and you're not bracketing him or anything. What do you do about Kelce? Like, what do you do about Hardman? Like, there's so few right answers, and if you double more than one guy, if Patrick Mahomes escapes, he's going to cook you. So I don't really know what the best answer is for the Niners defense in terms of how to defend all of the Chiefs' various weapons.
So the Chiefs do pass the ball a lot out of 12, but they've amped up their passing rate out of 11 with Mecole Hardman this season. And the 49ers, and we could talk about the red zone in a second, but they are the number one worst defense in the red zone against 11 personnel.
Thank you for bringing up. They just generally in the red zone, they've actually not been.
They are 25th in the league in terms of touchdown rate in the red zone. A lot of people are, you know, I think just the common perception of the 49ers as we've spent a week dissecting them now, and the game's still almost a week away, but it's getting closer and closer, is that this is like the best defense, the number one defense.
Pass
They're
rush.
Unstoppable.
It's the pass rush.
It's the pass rush. The pass on rush. Early downs, the pass rush is not brilliant. It's great on third downs. And as you approach the red zone, that pass rush is no longer brilliant. They have in 52 pass early down pass attempts in the red zone, opposing quarterbacks haven't been sacked once.
You know what I would do in the red zone? Zone read. Man,
yes.
I've seen that Niners defense get cooked on zone read. I mean, granted, they played Lamar, Kyler, and Russell, so they had a uniquely challenging slate of mobile quarterbacks. And I know Dee Ford and Quan Alexander weren't in some of those games. I think Quan was in one of the Arizona games. I know that, Niners fans who are listening. But I really think, and that's not something Andy does with Patrick a lot. Most of his runs are scrambles.
Right, yes.
I'd like to see some designed runs.
I think he should. The other thing that they've been doing is they've been upping their red zone run rate, which in general I agree with. That's a smart part of the field to run the football. But the 49ers are really good against the run in the red zone. They're really bad against the pass in the red zone. They're terrible against the pass in the red zone, primarily because that pass rush doesn't get there. Quarterbacks get the ball out quicker. And if you look at their red zone pass versus rush splits, massive gap between the two. So the Chiefs and Andy Reid, I think they need to up their red zone pass rate. And when they are going to potentially run, it should be some of that zone read where there's options for Mahomes,
right,
where he can, you know, run the ball or hand it off if the pass is covered.
I want to ask you about that generally because I just mentioned the mobile quarterbacks who have had success against the Niners defense. Again, there were injuries on defense, which, as I was saying at the very top of the show, makes it hard to evaluate this defense in some ways. But that said, I can't get this first half of the Rams game out of my head when Jared Goff was just killing the Niners, booting out, and they made adjustments in the second half. But I think that defensive line does have a bit of a tendency to overpursue Nick Bosa. And I think if I'm Andy, like, I want Patrick moving around as much as possible in this game. I think that it is, again, I know that they've had these injuries, but I think against, like, it is, if I had to choose, like, a weakness for that defense, it seems pretty undeniable.
Yeah. The number one thing that you don't want to have happened during the course of the regular season is your quarterback to get hurt running the football.
Right.
But there are no more games after
this.
Throw
it all out.
And the quarterback running the football is one of the biggest X factors in the NFL, as you well know, with Russell Wilson. So, the 49ers to quarterback scrambles allow, the 49ers defense allow 5.2 yards per carry and a 59% success rate. I'm not even including any Lamar Jackson runs, and I'm not including any designed runs. I'm talking about quarterback scrambles, and quarterbacks are going to scramble for one of three reasons. Either coverage downfield, an open run lane, or pressure kind of forces them to run the football. In any of those three instances, I mean, that is better than what a running back is going to gain. 59% success rate and 5.2 yards per carry. So I absolutely would encourage, I mean, it's hard to encourage Mahomes to do anything because he's so great at everything that he does. But if a run lane's there, buddy, you know, go ahead and take that, because those are free yards. And then the 49ers defense, they just have to try to chase you down. That's going to wear them out further.
Yeah, especially if the Niners, you know, if we do see Sherman dropping back a little bit deeper than, I mean, I think they're going to have to give with these receivers. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's the wrong approach. Maybe you want to be more physical with Hardman and Hill and all of that speed. But I guess I want to kind of step back and just talk about the Niners defense. Just again, like I said earlier, we know what they do. They are similar to the Seattle scheme in that they have their plan and they're sticking. They have traditionally, or I guess over the course of this season, been a pretty, I guess, similar, I don't want to say basic because I don't think that's accurate, but certainly more basic than the Chiefs defense, which we'll talk about shortly. Do you think there's any chance we get sort of something like what we saw in the Super Bowl last year, where Bill Belichick's defense had played one scheme all year and then completely flipped it up, innovated the 6x1 approach, started playing more zone, rotating coverage, all this stuff that we didn't really see during the regular season? Do you think there's any chance this Niners defense comes out and says, all right, we know Andy Reid's going to game plan for cover three, maybe a little quarters, you know, we're going to blitz more, or we're going to play more man, or we're just going to do something entirely different?
Yeah, and some teams have done that, right? Like some teams decided, you know, the Colts earlier this season, the Texans.
Oh, the Colts play like almost entirely man against.
Banged up Mahomes. Exactly. So like Matt Patricia is one of the most man heavy coordinators, I think. So week four, he played them, used a lot of man, and did pretty well. Of course, they were down, I think, Tyreek in that game. Then the next week, Mahomes got banged up and twisted his ankle, I believe.
Oh, easier to play man when Tyreek Hill's not.
Yeah, exactly. No Hill. And so they played almost exclusively man. Then the Texans played almost exclusively man, too. But Mahomes has done really well against man of late. Where he was chewing them up is short passes. Like his efficiency throwing the ball underneath against man was dominant.
This is why it's so hard with Mahomes. He has no weaknesses. What are you going to do? Like, when, you know, the moon is in retrograde and like the tides are rising and Mahomes' temperature is between 20 and 35 degrees Celsius, then you can get him. Like,
well, right. He's never lost a game. He's never lost a game by more than 7 points. So he's in every single game, regardless of whether it's a great game from him or a good game from him. So the issue comes down to, like I'm saying, mistakes, that those third down plays, is he going to get a sack or is he going to convert? Can he avoid those third downs? And then what is Andy Reid calling? You know, how aggressive is Andy Reid going to be here? I think that's really the difference, because I think, having studied everything that I've studied, I'm very confident that we are overrating this 49ers defense. We are really, in general, the national perspective of this 49ers defense is like, you know, that we've converted them into like the elite 85 Bears almost, to a degree. And they're not anything close to that,
in my
opinion.
I think we're overrating both defenses.
I agree.
Because right now I'm hearing a lot of, the Chiefs defense is better than you think. They've improved a lot down the stretch. And I think this game, famous last words, is going to be very high scoring.
I tend to agree too. I mean, my computer model projected about 51.5 points for the game. Huh. And the total opened at 52, and it's been bet up to like 54, 54.5, 55. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily see any value in that over from a math perspective. But the fact of the matter is, you've got two teams that have not played offenses like they're about to play. You've got these offensive-minded head coaches with extra time to prepare. You know, it's one thing for Bill Belichick, a defensive-minded coach, to come up with these great defensive schemes, you know, for their opponent. But I really look at this as Andy Reid's show. This is his show. And I think that these offenses are going to come out and kind of have their way as long as there aren't mistakes. I mean, the tempo is going to be interesting. How fast is it really going to be? But I really would – well, we'll talk about the 49ers offense in a minute. I don't think they're going to control the clock and slow things down as much as they've been doing over the last few games.
So Niners fans, if you're angry right now at Warren and me, I'm about to say that I think the Niners offense is a lot better than the Chiefs defense. So stay tuned. We're going to take some questions first. You could be headed to the game or going on an epic road trip. No matter where your travels take you, Marathon can help you get there with quality top-tier gas. I'm a driver now. Warren, I didn't start driving regularly until my early 30s, so this speaks to me. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a win-win deal. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. So join the Marathon team and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever your journey goes, it pays to start at Marathon. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
Thanks, as always, for your excellent questions and reviews. I appreciate them all. We get really good questions here, and we're going to take a few of them before we get to the Niners offense versus the Chiefs defense. Starting with Murray, this is a good one. I'd like to hear your answer on this one. It's sort of like the game FMK. I'm not going to say what that is, but he's asking, who do you cut? Who do you bench and keep as your backup? Who do you want starting 16 games? Blake Bortles, Nathan Peterman, Paxton Lynch. You got to start Bortles, right? Out of that three.
Yes, yeah.
Peterman backup, Lynch cut, or reverse.
Man.
That's a rough one.
The last two are rough. Yeah, I don't know what you do there.
I would keep Peterman as my backup, just for the memes. Angel and Ellie's dog mom. Ooh, this is good. Great name, by the way. Great handle. If the NFL had a different rule for the AFC and NFC, kind of like the designated hitter, what's something you would like to see? Like something where one of the conferences had something a little different. But it couldn't be like a big advantage because that would not be fun.
So like any time a game was hosted by an AFC team,
yes,
this would be the...
Something fun.
How about no punts? No punts.
Love that idea. Such a good answer. And, right, because it's an answer that wouldn't necessarily give an advantage to one side, but it would just make it kind of funny. And you probably see, like, the team that the conference is in building their roster accordingly and strategically. I love that idea. Great answer. You've been clipped. Asks, if the Jets' defense is going to be good next year. He mentions, or she mentions, that they obviously had some injuries. I think I saw some news about C.J. Mosley recently. Let me pull that up. Let's see. CJ Mosley is still on track to return for the spring. I think they were one of the most injured defenses last year off the, I mean, that would certainly check
especially
out.
Especially early. Jamal Adams injured too.
And then they actually finished ninth in weighted DVOA.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they picking in the draft? They're not going to go defense though.
You wouldn't think with Adam Gase there. I mean, their offense definitely need to build around Sam Darnold a little bit. But I guess it depends what the people in front of them do.
I think they'll be – I mean, they were good this year. I don't really see any reason why. I don't think they're losing that many tremendous free agents off the top of my head. Great prep by me here on this Jets question. I mean, Greg Williams quietly – you know what? Greg Williams, it was a good year for Greg Williams given like what happened in Cleveland. I feel like he's the real winner.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. But now his old coach is coming to the same town.
That's true.
Tight ends coach for the Giants. Old Freddie Kitchen.
Steinlager 999, last question, asks me, who is your favorite NFC West player not on Seattle? Ooh. I mean, I still love Richard Sherman. I've gotten real. I really love Kyler Murray, and I really enjoyed watching him play this year. There were some ups and downs, but I'm like a big fan of his game, and so I enjoy him very much.
What about Kittle?
No. It's like everybody's, you know, I'm trying to think of like.
Oh, under the radar?
Yeah. Well, I guess I should pick one of the Rams. Let's see. Who am I?
How about Marcus Peters?
Woof.
Yeah.
I'm so curious to see this Rams defense next year post Wade.
Yeah, and Wade.
Because I think it's going to look totally different schematically. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent. They were actually good this year. It's fascinating. Fascinating unit. I'll go with Taylor Rapp on the Rams. Safety. Rookie safety. Asian.
There you go.
Do you like Kyler?
Yeah. I actually was thinking in my head that's the answer you were going to give.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you know? Also Asian.
Because he's just fun to watch.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
There were some, including the games against the Niners, he was freaking awesome. And there's a lot of lessons to learn from those games, I think, for the Chiefs, by the way. Well, let's talk about the Niners offense now and the Chiefs defense. So we kind of already spoiled this by saying we think the Niners offense is better in the same way that we think the Chiefs offense is better. But you said something which really intrigued me at the top, which is you said don't assume Shanahan's going to come out and do the same game plan he did in the first two games in the playoffs. So why is that? Because a lot of people hear that and they're like, wait, this Chiefs run defense is terrible. Why wouldn't you just run it on them?
Yeah, the only reason, like everybody seems to think that he doesn't have confidence in Jimmy G, so he wants to take the ball out of his hands to run the football. But in the first half of the game, on first downs against the Packers, I believe they were averaging 8.1 yards per carry. Now, what kind of moron would not just take that and keep dunking it over and over and over again if you were able to get to the paint and just dunk it and you never were missing? So I could definitely see why he would try that. But here's the thing. This is the Super Bowl. There is absolutely no way, first of all, that Robert Saleh, the Chiefs defense is going to sit back and say, well, guess what? Like, we're not going to try to stop the run. And we're not going to make that adjustment.
I mean,
if you're gaining these
chunks.
The
Niners defense was trying to stop their run. Didn't look like it. But yeah.
He could have passed. I am very confident that Kyle Shanahan could have called a lot of pass plays and they would have carved up the Packers just the same way that the run game did. But it was a lot easier. It was a lot faster. It was a lot healthier way to get through that game and get to the Super Bowl. And I definitely think that they are going to come out in this game very unpredictable with their offense. Of course, you're still going to run, right? I'm not saying they're going to drop back like the Chiefs and pass the ball 67% of the time, but they're going to be a lot more balanced. And if their runs happen to be crushing, you know, of course he's going to go a little bit more run heavy, but Kyle Shanahan's not the type of offense coordinator and coach play caller that's going to just call plays because he wants a certain type of play to be called, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's calling every single play that he calls. There's a purpose behind it. And the ultimate goal is to have a good play call that's going to gain a lot of yards.
Right.
He's not calling plays just to be like, okay, we want to be a little bit more run heavy here. He's calling a play that he thinks is going to win on that down. It's going to be a successful
And there's
game.
Also some incredible sequencing there. When you go back and watch a just the Niners offense, just straight up in order, right? I'm trying to think of like the perfect analogy. It's like a poem. Like every line sets up the next line. There are things, I mean, everybody runs and everybody blocks. Let's start there, right? So you never know who's going to do what on any play.
Right.
The way they use Debo Samuel is like a revelation.
Debo is actually a good guy for your prior question as to which guy.
Oh, someone you like watching a lot. Yeah. I mean, the things, first of all, their receivers and tight ends are maybe better running the ball than they're running or were during the regular season. Debo in particular comes to mind. And consequentially, like, you know, he will have him involved in some kind of motion pretty much for what they use, like motion on like
70%, so just over.
So Debo, I mean, half the time he's not even getting the ball. Half the time it's a fake. Half the time he is carrying. Half the time he's leaking it. Like it's.
And everything looks the same.
It's genuinely stunning. I mean, people said that about the Rams offense a lot last year, but there were some key differences. I think one of which is what we've seen with Kyle is that he is able to adjust to whatever you throw him. oh, you're going to be overly aggressive in your pursuit. Oh, you're going to try to contain. Oh, you're going to drop down your safeties. Oh, you're going to have your linebackers crash. There's a counter for every single thing you can do on defense, and he can use all of his weapons in every kind of way.
Right.
So what do you do if you're the Chiefs defense?
Well, I think you hope. You know, you hope that they make some mistakes. But to be honest, I think it really benefits Kyle that he had the Super Bowl go the way that he did in Atlanta 2016, because he knows what it was like to game plan for something and then to fall short at the very end by some of his decisions and plays that he called. And of course, like he admits that he regrets some of those calls, but it's a learning process for him. I think he's going to come out a little bit more aggressive and creative and not take his foot off the gas here. If they are able to get a lead,
he's been weirdly not aggressive this season. Funny you say that.
Well, by aggressive, I don't mean the fourth down decisions, which I agree. He needs to go for those a little bit more.
You're playing the Chiefs, dude.
Absolutely.
Pedal to the metal.
Absolutely. You cannot, a punt is like a turnover. Like you can't punt the football here. Yeah. This has got to be like that AFC game where we change
exactly.
the rules.
No punts.
So I think that Kyle is going to come out with a lot of interesting things, but the hard part for the Chiefs, they do have a better defense than what we saw last year and a better defense than what we saw earlier in the year. And they are a little bit healthier, right? So they've got like some pieces there that are really good defensively, but they do struggle against some play action, especially play action from under center. And that's one of the things that not a lot of teams around the league use. The Titans, when they ran play action from under center in the first half of the game, okay, listen to this, last week or 2 weeks ago in the AFC Championship game, the Titans obviously held the lead. What was it, 17-7? They were up 10-0, 17-7. They called play action on 9 of their 16 passes, and those plays were great, and 8 of those 9 were play action from under center. And when they did play action from under center, 88% success, 13.5 yards per attempt, perfect pass rating, no sacks. In the second half of that game, you know how many, I think they had 18 passing dropbacks. Only one time did they call play action from under center. Only one time. So they called it 8 times in the first half, went completely away from it in the second half.
They were calling play action from the gun?
They called play action, but they were calling it from the gun, but they only called it 3 times total out of 18 dropbacks. In the AFC Championship game.
Sorensen, I remember, bit hard on one of those, and I was thinking, because I've been keeping an eye on him and Fuller, wondering about the Thornhill injury, thinking with the eye on this game, like the Niners will kill you if you fight on that.
Right, and that's the thing. Kyle has dialed up certain things to attack certain players, and then he just doesn't let his foot off the gas. So if he sees Sorensen as a weakness and a couple things start to work, he's going to keep like
he's been mostly good. I mean, the Chiefs defense has some very obvious weaknesses. I would say the corners generally are not as good as the safeties, and then the linebackers. They're better than they were last year. But guess what? Kyle Shanahan is right now there was that Stephen Ruiz tweet about what's his name on the Anthony Barr and how Kyle Shanahan was plotting his murder. Right now, that's happening for like Reggie Ragland.
Yes.
And I'm just so afraid to see it because it's going to be awful. The Chiefs' strengths are Tyrann Mathieu in the pass rush, basically.
Yeah. The middle of the field on pass plays is going to be open. I think the running backs and the tight ends are going to have some efficiency. Like, I think Kyle Shanahan is dialing up some things for Juszczyk right here. And Juszczyk, that's an interesting prop that I liked. His first reception is set at 5.5 yards. His total receiving yards is set at 11.5. Like, I think there's going to be, he's either going to blow both of those on the first catch or not. Like, I don't see Jimmy G throwing him the ball for a 2 yard gain when he's covered.
No.
I see like a blown coverage where a guy's nowhere close. Either catches it or he doesn't.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the passer rating to Kyle Juszczyk is like 300. I don't have the numbers, but I'm fairly confident he has never not caught like a 15 yard pass. Forget him catching the ball. When they throw the ball and he's on the field, it seems to always work.
Yeah.
For, and, you know, all the obvious reasons.
And that's why like a lot of people seemed to scoff at the fact earlier, you know, when Juszczyk went down, oh, a fullback, like running backs don't really matter that much. How would a fullback matter? And like knowing Kyle Shanahan a little bit and knowing the way that he wants certain guys on his roster and how important that was, like it would have been funny to go to Kyle and say like, oh, this guy, he doesn't really matter that much, does he? Because you could see the way that he uses Juszczyk and you can see the on-off splits and how vital he is to the passing game and a lot of other elements, deception, misdirection. There's a lot of things that Juszczyk factors into that it's, I'm happy that he's back for this game and going to be useful because I think the fullback is going to come in as a value added piece here for the 49ers.
I imagine Tyron will be pretty occupied with Kittle.
Yep.
So after that, I'd say the Niners wide receivers, Sanders in particular, like they have an edge there in the matchup. Again, it's like no one's really talking about them because of the way this offense has been deployed over the last 2 weeks. But Jimmy doesn't have to do much. He just has, I mean, he's really good at throwing like perfectly placed slants that leads to yards after catch. Mm-hmm. It's like an asset of his in that offense that's really effective and he's really good at it. And I could just see that dicing up the Chiefs defense.
You know, it's awesome. I'm glad you said that because you know who we're talking about? Patrick Mahomes here.
Yeah.
And the team that has the number one most explosive offense in the NFL is the San Francisco 49ers. Passing offense is the San Francisco 49ers. You know the rate at which Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball over 15 yards down the field, 15 air yards?
Air yards.
The least in the NFL.
I saw somebody was putting up like Jimmy G's, I'm not going to name names, but it was someone, I don't think it was Art Everett. Somebody had put up all of his like deep yards and I was like, air yards at my television. Cause they were like, actually Jimmy G's really, you know, has this like downfield passing attack. And I was shaking my fist and screaming at the TV.
82% of his passes are targeted within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's the NFL average. Jimmy G's at 87%. The number one out of 45 quarterbacks that qualified for throwing the highest percentage of his passes within 15 yards of line of scrimmage. And yet this offense is still the most explosive. And that's because when he does throw deep, they do connect on those. And I mean, his passer rating, his success rate, his efficiency on deep passes is incredible. But then they also, like you said, a lot of short passes that are designed for big gains. And that's what's so cool about both of these offense coordinators. Not as many coordinators in the league focus on this, but Kyle and Andy Reid both are, we want to make life easier on our quarterback, but we still want those explosive gains. So we're going to use our creativity as play designers to figure out how we're going to get high completion rates with big yak.
The screen gods.
Yeah. Well, running backs, wide receivers, everything.
He's a screen god.
He's amazing.
Kyle's a slant god. So I feel like you and I are of the same mind where we both think these offenses are better than the defenses. How are you? I'm not going to ask you to make a pick. You don't have to make a pick. But right now, how could you see this game playing out?
Well,
it all depends on like what the game plans, obviously.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into it. Like, I definitely see edges for both of these offenses, but this is not going to be a game, I don't think, where it's like offense just runs up the field, scores back 7-7, 7-7, you know, going back and forth. There are going to be key pivotal plays, key stops. Jimmy Garoppolo, the interesting thing about the Chiefs, I mentioned that the 49ers were the number one team in the NFL in third down sack rate, like 10% above the NFL average. You know what the Chiefs rank on third down sack rate? Number two. Nobody's really talking about that, but both of these teams are very similar. They don't get a lot of pressure or sacks on early downs, but they do on third downs. And Jimmy G, unlike Patrick Mahomes, tends to eat a lot of sacks on third downs. So there's some props out there right now. I mean, I know I'm talking about some props. Hopefully
That's
you don't
good.
Mind. But like Jimmy G, there's props like who's going to have the first sack in this game? And the 49ers are strong favorites to do so. But on some of the third and long situations.
I mean, that's the thing with the Niners offense. And this actually, again, this is pretty similar to the 2018 Rams offense. Like, they just don't get in that situation very much. They stay ahead of, you know.
It's vital. It's going to be vital in this game.
And right, you know, he's just not forced to be that drop back guy very frequently. But as you pointed out, when he is, then suddenly the matchup does look a little bit different between that offense and defense. Man, the Niners are a more balanced team, but he's
yeah, the X factor. Yeah, I'm leaning with the 49ers a little bit here. I'm leaning with
all
the
right,
49ers.
Let's wrap up with some questions.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
So in between the time in which I said we were going to do questions and right now, Warren had to leave, folks. I guess he was too intimidated by Lenny. That's probably why, right?
Either that or when you were eating the cake, one or the other.
I said, Len, you were laughing at me.
I was.
I was hungry. It's Katie Nolan's birthday cake. Shout out to Katie Nolan. I asked him, I was like, all right, you ready for Lenny's tough questions? And then he said yes, but then he had to go. So in his stead, we've got producer Dan taking 5 questions, 4 from me, 1 for Lenny. This is going to be the most you've ever spoken on this podcast. Are you ready?
Definitely.
All right, question 1. So you were a producer on Mike and Mike for how many years?
Long 2 time. Years on Mike and Mike, year and a half, Goal Can Wingo. Colin Cowherd before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Out of all of those people, who do you think Lenny would dislike the most?
Wow.
I think
all of them have dogs. I'm going to go with Colin.
Clearly.
Yeah.
He was on my plane to Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say hi? Do you guys know each other?
We don't know each other.
Interesting.
Yeah. There wasn't like he wasn't like love Lenny's work, nothing like that.
He's very aloof.
No game recognized game moment.
No, I think he knew like 8 people at ESPN Radio. I happen to be one of them.
Question number 2. You're wearing a Jeopardy shirt right now. I know you're a big fan. I assumed you watched the Tournament of Champions. Are you a James guy or a Ken Jennings guy? And if you're a James guy, why are you wrong?
I like all of them. And I was a James guy.
Classic.
Yeah.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
You just like his style?
Yeah. He was an innovator. And turns out Ken Jennings used James' style to beat James in the greatest of all time.
If you had to analogize all 3 guys to NFL teams, who would each be?
Wow, you're really testing my knowledge here.
James is like the Ravens. He's innovative, but then got beat.
Yeah.
Surprise, upset.
That's good. Innovative. I was going to go with the 49ers and Shanahan, but the fact that James lost is good. The Ravens, I like that. Ken, steady. You know, never won the big one, but finally won the big one. Who is that? Who's a team that was always good?
Well, could be the Chiefs.
Could be Andy Reid.
Could be the Chiefs. I like Ken, Andy Reid.
Yeah. And then Brad is someone that has always won and finally lost, and maybe that could
be
the Patriots.
Got smoked.
Yeah.
I like that. 3rd question. Did you hear my story on Libertard show today about my encounter last night? So for those who missed it.
I didn't.
This is mortifying, but I'll retell it here because I have no dignity or self-worth. I was at the media night getting sound for the ESPN Daily podcast and I asked a question that I actually got from one of my listeners on this show. It was, if you had to pick one player to play every position on an NFL team, do you remember that one?
Remember that
People
one, yeah.
love that
yeah,
question.
Yeah. Patrick Peterson,
so
I think,
I've
did
been
very well there. Pat
Peterson, Cam Newton was my choice.
Yep.
So I kind of walked around asking folks and I saw John Lynch and I was like, perfect, a GM. So I was like, hey, I'm sorry, it's kind of a goofy question, but you know, like John Lynch, you'd be a perfect person to answer this because you're a GM. If you had to choose one guy, play every, I know it's goofy, you'd clone him 53 times, he has to play every position, who would it be? And John Lynch looks at me and he goes, that would be a great question for John Lynch. And then I went, oh no, it's Wes Welker.
No way.
They look exactly alike in my defense. Granted, John Lynch has like 4 inches on him, but yeah, they are twins.
There's a slight resemblance. I will give you.
I don't think all white guys look alike. Kind of do. So my question is, that was my story, but being a producer on all these various shows, you had a lot of encounters with famous athletes. And what's your worst encounter with a famous person?
Oh, man. I wish you prepped me on this. I'm sure there are plenty.
Did you ever have a big screw up?
Plenty of big screw ups. The one I'm thinking of, do you remember the time you were nervous to have Louis Riddick on the show?
Why are you going to make this about me, Dan?
No, because I had an awkward moment around that same time. I was trying to get him to the studio. And I'd worked with Riddick before.
What happened?
Back on the draft. It was a
tight episode.
So
you had to get out.
I turned and saw him and gave him the weird, awkward white guy. There he is. Like, I didn't know what to say. I'm like, oh, there he is.
Hey.
And I'm like trying to like say hi to Lewis, and I turn around, and he turns around, and he was clearly on the phone with headphones talking the entire time.
He's very intimidating.
Very.
Is he the most intimidating person at ESPN?
Put, he can't be.
Put
the
it
most.
On the poll. Put yeah. it on the poll. He's yeah. got to be up there.
He's top five, probably.
Question four. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
I have no idea. Honestly, normally I have a good guess. This one, you know how they say normally you can see one team blowing the other out and one team winning narrowly? Either team could get blown out here, I think.
If your fiance's life depended on it, who would you pick?
I would pick the 49ers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Last question is from my co-host, Lenny. This is a pretty simple one. He just wants to know who you are.